when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I'd like to thank you so much for tuning in. I really do. We couldn't get along without, especially our supporters, our donors that support us with your treasure, with your great sacrificial donations. And I'm just saying, the first hour, money, you can't buy much with it when you get it, but it's hard as hell to get. And it becomes worse less every day. But we have to have it, and that's how we keep Blood River Radio in the air. Airtime is expensive. I'm not going to throw the money out there and tell y'all how much, but it is expensive. It's probably more than you think. But anyway, the first hour, Will Franco was in, as you well know, and he did a great job. We're kind of Velcroed at the head. He's a great father, too. He's out with his son right now. They're out doing some canoeing out there on a river. He did the broadcast in the truck. We've done that stuff. Matthew Goodwin used to do that all the time. But what we talked about, and we're getting ready to bring another brother in, Don Wassell. And you know what? I'm looking on my other computer. I'm looking at this website right now, American Freedom News. And I'm really proud to be associated with Don Wassell. He's the one that created this. How in the hell he did it, I'll never know. It's just beyond me how anybody could smart enough to do that. But he did it. There's several great articles here. And one of them, on the very front page of American Freedom News online newspaper, says, "Veterans have earned the right to ask. It's time we do." But we were talking about, the reason I mentioned that the first hour, in case you're just tuning in, me and Will, we talked about Joe Kent, a valiant soldier. He was, I think, about multiple Bronze Stars. He was an Army Ranger for many years, Green Beret, Special Forces, the whole nine yards. And everybody's mom probably knows about that. We cover that a lot. We might finish covering that. There's some left that needs to be covered. And I'll just say this right here. And I'm not tooting my horn. I've got not one, but I've got two discharges from the right. One from the regular Army, one from the reserves. And I'll say this. I'll never salute that flag again. Not the so-called Stars and Stripes. No way, Jose. I've seen what it's done. I've seen what's done under that name, Don. I know that I think it's the most evil government. I think Caligula would probably blush if he got accused of doing some of the things that the United States government has done. But and I just wonder, as smart as Joe Kent was, obviously, I wonder why he stayed in so long, because it did take me 30 days to see how evil the United States government was, because I was drafted a long time before he was born, I guess. Anyway, I'm going to shut that up. I just had to get that off my chest because it really pisses me off what they've done to Joe Kent. It really pisses me off at this piece of crap we have for government, not just Donald Trump, who bought and sold his soul to the devil, the son of their father, the devil, the Jew. And one more shut up. We're going to bring in Don Wassell right now. Sorry it went too long there, Don, but it's kind of round up for the first hour. So I know we're just telling people, you have, not only do you have American Freedom News, you got several other things. You have one website, one thing called Cast Football. And that's very, and my notes for the show notes I sent to our webmaster, I'll say this briefly. I have a book that ties right in with Cast Football. I have a booklet here. Written by Paul Fromm, and the title of the book is a Canadian series. I have a bunch of them. If people want some, they can. I'd be glad to send you one. It'd be a nice way to small donation. The cover, at least the cover of the postage. It says the name of this is The Cult of Clergy, : The Planned Replacement of the European People. That's Paul Fromm wrote that, and the it's got a photograph of this clergy dude on the front. His father was a Jew. His mother was a Japanese. And he hated white people with a purple passion. He wanted to get rid of white people. But this goes right into Cast Football, folks. Believe it or not, I'll tie it together. Then we'll go right to Don. Back 100 years ago, I don't know how they do it. They draw, well, I do know they are their father, the devil. They have supernatural intelligence. He drew up this plan, how he wanted to destroy European people. He knew he had to destroy Europe first. Then, of course, he had the United States in his sights, but mainly he was concentrated on Europe. I believe he was from Germany. He drew up this plan, and I'll be damned if that plan didn't come forth just like it is going on right now. There's millions of non-whites flooding into once former all-white Europe. And one thing he said, and this applies to Don Wassel's site, Cast Football, he said that they were going to raise the Negro up above the white man. And the way they were going to do it, they were going to get him into sports because they are good. They are big and fast and strong. But not no more for the white people. In fact, Don knows
they're very overrated, though. Very overrated.
And they said that they were going to make millionaires out of these Negroes. Therefore, they could inbreed with white people. And on my show notes, Don, I'm going to shut up now. It said, as the cult of clergy, the planned replacement of the European people, have we seen that plan come to fruition in modern day sports, NFL, the NBA, et cetera, especially in the United States? And I'm going to sign over to Don. And Don, I'm going to let you decide. Has the cult of clergy, has he reached his goal? So go ahead, Don.
Well, I mean, it certainly started off in a big way with sports and entertainment. I always talk about the Great Replacement. I'm sure all your listeners are familiar with that. I don't know if they're quite as familiar with the clergy plan, but there's so many similarities. But I always, we talk about the Great Replacement, which anyone who isn't hopelessly brainwashed can see. Just look around you, and you can see how the demographics of the country have changed dramatically, especially since 1965, when the Immigration Act of 1965 was passed. But with every year, it's more obvious. I mean, you go to a lot of cities now, and a lot of neighborhoods in a lot of cities, and you feel like a total stranger, not to mention unsafe. The replacement of whites as a race it's well underway here and in Canada and Europe, Western Europe, and of course Australia and New Zealand. So yeah, there's a replacement, ongoing replacement. Some might call it genocide of whites. We're demonized, called the the source of all evil in the world, and have oppressed these other peoples and races that are naturally, if not as good as us, even better. And so, yeah, sports is where there was a big foothold was gained, because blacks can be good athletes, but they are also overrated. I mean, when you see, to me, the NFL and the NBA and sprinting, some track and field, is just, it's an extremist supremacist ideology that blacks are so good that generations can go by without any whites being able to compete with them. And that's just total nonsense, total nonsense. And one of the things we do on Cast Football, which is castfootball.us, and as a footnote, American Freedom News is also .us. That's important. If you don't put the .us in there, you won't find the sites. But it was done in a way that just, when you examine it, which is what we do on Cast Football, we have opinions, and of course, but we also back a lot of our opinions up with facts. We look at football players, we look at high school football players and basketball players and on to college and then the NFL, and we see, even before high school, even like the peewee level, whites are slotted, racially slotted, and pushed to play only certain positions, and that becomes more prominent and pronounced as time goes on. In high school, you see fewer whites, although it's tough to... A lot depends on the demographics of a given school district. I mean, a lot of high schools are still mostly white, especially in the suburbs. And you look at a football team, and there's a lot of really good high school football teams that are predominantly white that beat predominantly black teams. But the next level is so important is when they scout them and give out scholarships to play at big-time college football, which is the stepping stone to the NFL. Well, suddenly all these whites that excelled and were stars on their high school teams, somehow aren't good enough to get a scholarship to go on to play in college. So that's a huge step there, a huge barrier. And, of course, the media is all in on this, too, and these so-called scouting services and these gurus and self-appointed gurus and stuff. It's all, it's like with everything with the media, it's like a hive mind. You watch the media, you see everything, you know, they all basically share the same opinion on everything. It doesn't have to be written down. There's no written guidelines. It's just known. If you want to be part of this system, you have to go along with it, the way, the unwritten rules of it. And I think I hear music, Eddie, so
you sure do.
Going to break.
You've got good ears. We're going to take a quick break, people. You get some coffee if you move fast, but you can't stay too long. Be right back, folks. About 2 minutes.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing, and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
Step into the boots of the American West with Range Magazine, where grit meets grace. This is a front row seat to the stories, struggles, and triumphs of ranchers, farmers, and stewards of the land. From jaw-dropping photography to no-nonsense reporting, Range brings you the untold tales of life on the range. Whether you're a city dweller with a cowboy's heart or living life where the pavement ends, Range speaks to the soul of the West. Subscribe today at rangemagazine.com.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Yes, indeed, you
emphasis. Dear the Blood River Radio family, we're going to try to cram as much quality stuff in as we possibly can within 3 hours. So I got to shut the hell up and go back to one of my brothers, a very knowledgeable brother, how he does this. I'm still trying to figure out what Substack means. I'm really a dumbass when it comes to tech stuff. So anyway, back to you, Brother Don. Continue on, brother.
Okay. One of the reasons that the sports has been so effective in the Great Replacement and pushing it is because most people that think like us have tuned out sports. They just don't like it anymore. They see it black dominated. They see a lot of other things. It's corrupt, like everything else in this society, and they are not tuned into it. And so these myths have been built up over time that, you know, blacks are just these incredible athletes. You know, all the blacks got to do is just, you know, lace up his shoes and he's automatically the best player on the field. Well, it's not the case at all. There are white kids, especially in football, well, and basketball, but I mean, football, Americans, white kids love football, and they've always been great at it.
Yes.
Now, you tell me all of a sudden, one day, it's sort of like the myth of the dinosaurs disappearing one day 65 million years ago when a giant meteorite hit the world somewhere. All of a sudden, there was no dinosaurs. Well, that's kind of what's happened in sports, what we call the caste system, where whites are excluded from certain positions in certain sports based on their race and nothing else. And so all of a sudden, you had Hall of Fame running backs and receivers and defensive players, and you had the same in basketball. You had the forwards and the guards and the centers that were white and were all-time greats. all of a sudden there was almost none of them. Now, why did that happen? Is that just a pure accident? Or, I mean, come on. I mean, it's obviously contrived. There's an agenda behind it. And it's a tough nut to crack because so many whites don't, especially ones that are concerned about the country, they call themselves patriots, et cetera. They have tuned out sports, which is understandable, but it's also very important if you want to understand why so much of what's going on is going on. It started when you can brainwash, essentially, a race of people into thinking they're inferior athletically and physically. Well, what else? You know, then you can defeat them in every other way, including psychologically and when it comes to morale and things like that. I mean, just think of the American Indians, how they were beaten down. I mean, that's really what's happened to white people in this country. And one of the many tragedies of it is that whites are fantastic athletes, or they can be if they apply themselves, and including still in the sports where you hardly see any. So, you know, we're sort of this lonely outpost out there that's been around since 2004, presenting our case and doing it very, very strongly, and I think almost it can't be rebutted by people that look into it. But, you know, a lot of people will not look into it, or they just hear, say, well, these guys are a bunch of racists, or they're Nazis, or this and that. And when the truth is, we're trying to expose the racism in sports, the anti-white racism. And, we're smeared for trying to get the truth out there. So, you know, it's like with everything else, you know, it's an uphill battle because, you know, we are rapidly being replaced, and our traditional values and morality and everything else is disappearing right in front of our eyes. But there's also some silver linings, I believe, too, that I've observed the media is not as biased as it used to be. The announcers make more of an effort to be fair now to white athletes when they're calling basketball and football games. So, and I think it's CAS football has had a lot to do with that. We've actually made some inroads. Now, of course, there's still a long, long way to go. You know, we're just one smallish website out of the daily bombardment of the corporate media and all the echo chambers of pushing the myth of black racial supremacy. But, you know, what we're telling is the truth. It's just hard to get the word out there, and especially because we get censored by the search engines, which, by the way, are still just the same as they were before Trump was elected again in 2024. You know, they still deplatform us. They still make it almost impossible to find us through searches. So nothing's changed. You know, we're allowed to exist like everything else. It's if you're a dissenter in this country, we're allowed to be out there and exist, but we just can't be too influential because then they'll come after you, you know, with the lawfare or whatever. But of course, we'd like to get to that point where we have that kind of impact. But yeah, it's a good site. It has over 500,000 posts on it. There's a good core of loyal supporters.
Damn, 500,000. Wow, that's a lot. That's big time.
So I'm looking at it right now, 529,000. So, and there's a lot of, you know, we have a forum called Happy Hour where we talk about politics, you know, like the war that's going on, the illegal war, and everything under the sun. So anyone out there listening, you don't have to be a sports expert to participate. You can go to CAST. Football, CASTE, football.us, sign up, and we would encourage you to be part of the conversation on whatever you like. I mean, I'm just looking at, in fact, I'm looking at the latest posts right now. The five latest ones, two of them are not about sports. One is a long-running thread called Commercials We Hate. And believe me, it's easy to find commercials we hate, as you know.
Yes.
And then there's one on movies, you know, just a discussion of various movies and things like that. So, yeah, there's a lot of interesting stuff on there, too. So I would encourage your readers or your listeners to be part of it if they want to.
Well, you know, I don't want to get too sidetracked because I'm going to ask you about the draft, the NFL draft in a minute. But you mentioned movies. I think the same could be said, Don, about movies, what's been done to the movies, be it TV, television, be it going to the flicks. So I still love to go to the old theaters, I guess, harking back to my childhood and my young life. But what's being done to sports, even college sports, as you just mentioned, for white people being weeded out? The same thing has happened in movies. In fact, in TV programs. In fact, I've had to go to the VA hospital a lot lately, and at these waiting rooms, you have all these game shows, and where it used to be, many years ago, any type of game show was, for instance, led by somebody like, remember, like Vanna White. They were all white people. Now, the game shows are 100%. You're being forced to watch this crap in these government waiting rooms, and it's all black. It's just... It makes people want to vomit.
And just so dumbed down, too. You know, it's just, yeah.
Oh, man.
Daytime TV is so... I can't watch 98% of the stuff on TV anymore. I just can't. I mean, I'll watch a little bit just to observe and monitor, but, man, I just... And then you think about there's, I don't know, 100, 200 million people that still watch this stuff unquestioningly and get their so-called information from it and their views and stuff like that, and you can see why it's such an uphill battle, even with the white people that are left, to try and educate them. Conditioning, the indoctrination is just so strong and so dumbed down and simplified. It's just one of many tragedies in this society we live in now.
You know, that leads me to another point. And in some ways, I kind of wonder if I'm going to get in trouble with God sometimes because I'm a Christian, even though a lot of people would probably say, probably right, I'm a poor Christian. My faith is not like it used to be. But I hate to say this, but there's so many of our people out there. They're just like jellyfish. They're just globs. They're just existing. They'll fall for anything. They have been dumbed down so bad, like you say. Yeah. Watch these stupid games. Believe it or not, this leads to the point. I've told people, like I said, it wouldn't be that hard to take this government down, to take this government, this country back. It would take just a small handful of dedicated people. In fact, there used to be a cliche about that. It just takes a few men with fires in their mind to overtake a large government. But it would only take a few people acting actively in this country to take this government back, because the vast number of people would never participate. Like General Nick Glasnevik said, that apathy. He said apathy was the new atheism. So that race. I know that may be an abstraction there, but when I see what's happening on your site, you cast football, especially these movies, it tells me that there'd be nothing to worry about from the massive civilization of what we saw turning against us. A handful of us they would go with the winners. And how I get off on this crap, I'll never know. But if we have time before the break, I was going to ask you about, I think we do. I think you told me that the draft is coming up, and it's going to be in your hometown, Pittsburgh. And what did you say, 4 weeks, 6 weeks?
Yeah, it's the it's like a 3-day event, 4-day event. I mean, it's a huge event for the NFL. It gets hyped year round. But I think it's the last weekend in April, if not the second to last weekend in April. And, of course, we always follow it closely on Cast Football, not because we know how it's going to go. I mean, there's 32 teams, and the first round, we'll be lucky if there's 5 white guys taken in the first round. The rest will be black, because it's like that year after year after year. But, you know, we'll observe it, and we predict, usually correctly, a lot of these blacks taken early will become busts. They don't become the stars that everyone thinks they'll be. Everyone gets all excited, the fans, you know. We call them the drunk white fans, DWFs. That's one of our nicknames. they all get all hyped up. Oh, we took, Leroy Smith, his 400-pound tackle, and, man, he's going to just, we'll be unstoppable on offense with him protecting the quarterback. And in the meantime, old Leroy can't run sideways or more than 10 feet in any direction without gasping for breath, and he's anything but quick. So these guys, it's comical the way they're described. It's not so comical the way the white players are described, but we can predict almost with 100% accuracy. I can tell you if a guy taken is white or black just on how they describe him. I mean, this is how indoctrinated, how it's become institutionalized, this whole caste system that we talk about. But at any rate, one of the things I like to watch and observe is every year they claim, the NFL claims there's more people at the NFL draft. Last year was in Green Bay. Year before, I think it was in Detroit. But they always announce that there's X amount of people there. I think 2 years ago in Detroit, they were saying 500,000 people were there. Last year, it was in Green Bay, little Green Bay, they were saying 750,000, which is only like 7 times the population of Green Bay. And you look at a picture of the Green Bay Stadium, it holds 80,000. Then you look at a picture of where the draft's taking place, there's maybe 10,000 people there, and they're calling it 750,000.
We need to cover up as soon as we come back from this break. Folks, this is a long break. You got about 4 minutes. You got plenty of time to use the restroom, get some coffee, whatever. Be back in 4 minutes.
proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
News this hour from Town Hall. I'm Mary Rose. Israel says its attacks against Iran will increase significantly in the coming week.
Israeli Defense Minister Israel Katz says his military will be ramping up attacks on Iran in the coming days. We are determined to continue leading the attack against the Iranian terrorist regime, to behead its commanders and thwart its strategic capabilities until all security threats to the state of Israel and U.S. interests in the region are removed. Katz spoke Saturday hours after President Donald Trump said he was considering winding down military operations in the Mideast. Iran is threatening to attack tourist sites worldwide. I'm Donna Water.
President Trump is hinting at winding down the U.S. military campaign against Iran.
Even as the Pentagon sends more troops to the Middle East, the president said the U.S. is nearing the end of its war effort. On social media, he wrote that we are getting very close to meeting our objectives as he and his national security team consider winding down the military campaign against Iran. The president's statement came as more warships and Marines were being deployed to the region. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Hawaii Governor Josh Green says this is the worst flooding Hawaii has had in about 20 years.
This is going to have a very serious consequence for us as a state, though we have support. We are now beginning to contemplate the reality that this storm could cost over $1 billion of damage in both the private and public sector. And that includes things like damage to the airports. A major hospital has been damaged on Maui.
Airline passengers are saying that Transportation Security Administration workers need to get paid. At Atlanta's Mammoth Airport, travelers are arriving up to 4 hours ahead of their flight departures. More on these stories at townhall.com.
You know, life moves fast. Staying sharp, focused, and clear-headed isn't always easy. That's why the same company that brings you Relief Factor has developed something brand new, Think Factor. Think Factor is made to help you think clearer and perform better daily. It's a powerful blend of nutrients that unlocks mental clarity and precision, nurtures your memory, boosts your attention. With Think Factor, brain power and performance finally meet for lasting daily results. Supercharge your memory, mental sharpness. Your brain is your most valuable asset, powering your creativity, focus, and daily performance. If you're feeling mentally foggy, give it a try. After a couple of weeks of taking Think Factor, it was a game changer for me. Look, the longer you take Think Factor, the better it works for you. If you've ever thought you want to be more clear, more focused, call 800-4-RELIEF, 800-4-RELIEF, or visit relieffactor.com to learn more and order Think Factor. Your first bottle is just $19.95. Think Factor. Think clearer, perform better daily. Call 800-4-RELIEF or visit relieffactor.com for Think Factor.
Are you ready to stand up for your community and support your local sheriff? Join the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association and become a vital member of the Sheriff's Citizens Posse. At CSPOA.org, we empower citizens like you through weekly webinars, arming you with the knowledge to back your constitutional county sheriff. Together, we can uphold our Constitution and ensure liberty and justice for all. Your community needs you now more than ever.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence, or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach.
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you for holding on there in the long break. I had to go get me some old sissy tea because it's a lot faster. You can't make coffee in 5 minutes. Anyway, I'd like to chime in to go right along with Cass football and the way sports have been taken over in the United States. And I'll make this quick. I used to, from the time I was in the sixth grade or so, I was a fanatic football fan. I played football. I was really too small to be a big lineman. I played a middle guard. In those days, that was considered average size. And Bear Bryant had some really, really small players back in their late 50s and early 60s. Matter of fact, when they won the national championship in 1961, I think their interior line, the quarterback was Pat Trammell, who died of cancer. He was larger than most of the defensive linemen, most of the linemen. But that's an aside. But here's the thing. I loved football. I had a back in those days, the Memphis State Tigers was Memphis college team. Bled blue. Ole Miss was my SEC team. And then I discovered Bear Bryant. But I loved, absolutely loved Memphis State, Ole Miss, and Alabama because they were Southern teams. And we had the Confederate flags and all that kind of stuff. But then little by little, I saw black started coming in more and more and more. And I think I'll ask Don about this. I think the first talked about this with Biscuit today or yesterday. Don, I think the first SEC team to have a black on it was Bear Bryant at Alabama. I'm not sure. That just broke my heart. But now, it's like you say, it's just we've just been kicked out of football. But I just like to let people know I used to love it. And I had an Alabama shirt. I had an Ole Miss shirt. I got to talk to Coach Johnny Vault down at Oxford. My daughter was a big football fan. We went to see Ole Miss play. She loved Ole Miss. She had one of her friends' big brother play down there. She just thought he was the finest thing on the face of the earth. And we had a good time. But those days are gone now. Anyway, I know it's kind of off. The topic,
SEC teams, they all look pretty much like Grambling anymore. I mean, that's another good illustration. I think the first SEC teams to integrate, that was back like in the early to mid 1960s. And, they started to trickle in, and now you look at them, and they look, well, the SEC is what the template for the NFL. And that's one reason the SEC is idolized by the media and such a big deal is made of it. If anyone is from the SEC, they're automatically assumed to be NFL caliber. And again, we track all these guys, a lot of them, and we have a thread about busts, guys who were picked in the first or second round. How many of them turn out to be busts? And it's phenomenal, and they're almost all black. So I mean, it's just crazy how it's been turned on its head. And then of course you have, when Alabama plays a home game, you've got, 70,000, 80,000 fans there, almost all of them white. And I'm sure they're good people with great, still, a lot of good morality to them and everything. But there they are cheering their heads off for an all-black team pretty much, It just shows you how we've been diverted in this country from what it used to be. And nobody notices. But, we on Cass Football, every year we have a rundown of every single college team and every NFL team, and we break it down by starters. Demographics, white starters, black starters, key backups, things like that. We do that for every single team in college and the NFL. And, it keeps getting a little worse every year, it seems like. But the SEC, that's where so many NFL players come from. And they're, like I said, they're no big deal, a lot of them. But if they play for Alabama or LSU or, Florida State or, these other ones, then they're just assumed to be the better than anyone else, even other blacks from other parts of the country. So the NFL is an offshoot of the SEC or vice versa now. So that's where it's a shame. Here you got the South, which had so much racial knowledge for so long, healthy racial knowledge, and then so much of it's gone now.
Probably worse. I was talking to the other day, and last 10 years or so, I've been fortunate enough, I've been able to go to New York, been able to run the New York Marathon several times. And we have friends, Yankees, hardcore New Jersey, New York, from that area of the country. And they take me and my daughter out to supper. They call it dinner. I call it supper. I'm from the South. Every year, and you're talking about hardcore. I mean, I'm a proud. I'm not a neo-Nazi bad guy. I'm the real bad guy Nazi. There's no neo about me. I'll tell people my grandfather was Hermann freaking Göring. But anyway, they are hardcore. Hardcore Nazi type at heart, like I am. And they were really hardcore. It is hard to find anybody like that here in Memphis. Here, right here in the South, in the home of Nathan Bedford Forrest. So, yeah, and how I got off on that, I'll never know. I'm always getting off of these rabbit trails. But, you know, and this is kind of a rabbit trail, but do you know, you may not remember, was it Bear Bryant that brought the first black into the integrated the SEC, Don? Do you remember who that was?
Well, it was, if it wasn't Bear Bryant, he was close. I mean, like I said, it was just a sprinkling in the beginning. And I can remember there was a big to-do a couple years before that. I think it was Southern Cal.
Oh, yes,
University
yes.
Of Southern California. I think they beat Alabama in a bowl game, yes. Maybe the Rose Bowl or something. And that was made into a huge racial victory. But in the meantime, I mean, Southern Cal was hardly an all-black team. They didn't have that many blacks either. But they beat an all-white team from the South.
Yes.
So that was given such importance. Just like about the same time, in 1966, which there was a university from one of the Texas schools that won the NCAA in college basketball. They started five blacks. They were the first team to start five blacks and win the championship. And now, of course, there's been movies made about them and documentaries. And, you know, 60 years later, they're still heroes. So, you know, and that's, you know, the media works overtime on these agendas and these narratives. And good old Whitey, you know, we have nobody supporting us. You know, it just... And, of course, you look at white athletes, professional ones, the ones that do make it to the NFL and the NBA, they have to be humble, and they are, because they're not allowed to have loud, obnoxious personalities like the black ones do. You know, that gets them at commercials and media attention. But the white guys, they got to know their place, I guess is one
yes,
way
they
to
do.
Put it.
Yep. You know, so, that team you talk about, Southern Cal, they had a big coon by the name of Sam Bam Cunningham. And,
I remember him.
Bear Bryant said he did more to integrate the South. Feliciously, he said that, because what they forgot to tell you, the very next year, 1 year later, Alabama came back and cleaned their clock. Pretty much just with a bunch of what people in the South said was a bunch of skinny-legged white boys. Alabama beat that same team. Very few people beat Alabama 2 years in a row. But yeah, that's the all white boys in Alabama kicked that team, kicked the tail of a Southern Cal. But they don't tell you that, do they, Don?
Oh no, they don't. We're not allowed to have white heroes anymore, Eddie. I mean, that's, you know, you're talking about the media and everything. Even when you see a white man, he's usually in the background. He's not the leading character. Or if he is, he's a villain of some kind, you know. We're not allowed to have heroes anymore, and that's one reason sports has gone the way it has. But I also say, too, that sports is also one of the few areas left now. You can turn on the TV and actually see some whites that are, you know, the best. Even with the caste system, whereas you go to movies or watch TV and commercials, you hardly even see a white man anymore. So at least the NFL, there's still some really good white players, especially quarterback, but not just quarterback, too. So as bad as it is, when I started this 2004, I've seen unbelievable changes all through society. I mean, the rest of society wasn't nearly as, the great replacement wasn't as far advanced, nearly as far advanced as it is now. The NFL stood out and the NBA stood out because they were so obviously black. But now it started with football and basketball and sprinting, too. That's another area we could get into that. But, you know, whites used to be as fast as anyone, but now, of course, none of them are. Of course, that's just pure coincidence again. That's that meteor hitting and wiping out all the white sprinters one day. You know,
that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. You know,
but, yeah.
I remember all too well. I never was as heavy into pro football as I was college. I was a big college fan. But even I remember you had Larry Zonka. Big running back. Well, I think he played for Miami Dolphins.
He'd be a fullback now. If he played it all now, he'd be a blocking, what they call a blocking fullback. He wouldn't even be the main runner. I mean, white power runners are extinct pretty much now. I mean, it's just
had John,
you know,
Riggins.
Generations go by without white cornerbacks and white running backs. Literally decades and generations. Does that make sense to anybody that knows anything about sports and football? I mean, it's obviously an agenda that's been forced on the country.
I remember John Riggins, running back.
Yep.
big running back for I think for the Redskins. And I remember they were interviewing this black about it. He said, "Well, it was pretty much it was Riggins right, Riggins left, Riggins up the middle, Riggins
and
right."
He was the last in the NFL. He was the last white running back to gain 1,000 yards. The NFL went 20 years between John Riggins gaining 1,000 yards and the next white running back to do it, which wasn't until it was actually 25 years. It wasn't until 2010. We went from 1985. To 2010 without a single white running back gaining 1,000 yards in the NFL.
Damn. How about that guy from San Francisco? Says McCaffrey?
Christian McCaffrey.
Christian McCaffrey. He's been hurt a lot, banged up a good bit. But
he's great when he plays. But he kind of bucked out, too, though. I mean, he had a lot going for him. His father played in the NFL and was a really good receiver. He was one of the few white receivers of his time. And then Christian went to Stanford and – so he had more connections. I mean, again,
I think I hear the music.
A lot of people look at him and say, well, he's the exception. He's not.
We
got to go quick break. The exception.
People, we'll be right back. Last break, second hour. We'll be right back, folks.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
I'll tell you one thing that every good soldier knows. The only thing that counts in the end is power. Naked, merciless force!
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you for hailing on. That was a short break. Wasn't too hard to hold on to that short break, hopefully. But we've been talking about Cass football. If we have time, I don't know if we will. There was an article on U.S. Freedom News .us that we get Don to cover about Joe Kent. I don't know if we're going to – I'd love to get him to cover that. If we have time, it's going to be his call. But I'm going to go right back about Cass football and ask Don a question I asked during the break. I think at one time you could at least count on white boys coming out of college going into the offensive line. At least they could play on the offensive line. They couldn't be in the glory position anymore, a running back, et cetera, receivers. But now Don was telling me – well, I'll let Don tell you what he told me. Tell him about the T-Rex arc, Don.
Yeah, one of the trends – well, there's been two strong trends over the last 15, 20 years. One is to get as many black quarterbacks starting in the NFL and as backups as possible. And there's been a certain amount of success with that. Although black QBs were terrible last year, there was only almost all of them were really bad. And that's one of the stats we were keep tracking too. When a team with a black quarterback starting played an NFL team with a white quarterback starting, guess what? The team with the white quarterback won a phenomenal amount of the games. So that was a real pushback there. Although you know nobody will talk about it openly, other than like Jason, I can't think of his name, the black guy, he tells the truth. But the other big thing is. on the offensive line, that's become, a lot of people, yeah, they think offensive line, there's the white guys, or four of the five line starters will be white, but that's become the exception now, too. As I'm scrolling here, in fact, there's left tackle, right tackle, the left guard, right guard, and the center. That's the five positions on the offensive line. And the two tackles, left tackle, and especially the left tackle is the most important, regardless of the most position, the most important one, because they have the most responsibility to protect the quarterback. That's the quarterback's blind side if he's right-handed, which most of them are. And the tackles, more and more, and if you watch the NFL draft next month at all, you'll notice that there'll be a lot of tackles taken, almost all of them black. And again, it's like that every year now. And they come up with this big excuse that why whites, even if they're really good tackles in college, they say that their arms are too short. You know, they take them to the combine in Indianapolis every February, and it's like the old, it's like a cattle show, or the old slave plantation master, auctioning off his slaves. They measure them in every possible way and have them do the same silly little jumping and running everything. But so now they measure their arms, and blacks have longer arms than whites, and they're using that. And that means nothing as far as ability to play tackle in the NFL. It means literally nothing. But they use that now to shut black or whites out of tackle. I'm trying to find if I can talk.
You know what? I got to chime in here. A friend of mine is brilliant. He's really, I've known him since 1962. He is a genius, low level, genius IQ. Of course, I tell him how he's dumb a lot of times. But he was telling me when he was taking the physics class in college before he went to into a professional school, that his physics instructor singled out Rocky Marciano. And he said, Rocky Marciano has noted about the smallest heavyweight, one of the smallest heavyweights ever, supposedly 5'10". He won his first championship at 184 pounds. He knocked Joe Louis cold as a turkey, cold as a mackerel. And he had the shortest arms. And the physics instructor said that's one of the reasons he got so much power. It had to do with leverage with his short arms. I didn't really look into it, but it looks like if it gave you power, if you were 184 pounds and you're knocking people cold as a mackerel that weigh 230, it looks like that would apply to power on the football field. But I'm just a dumb country Joe.
Sure. A lot of these tackles, they're huge, but they're not athletic. We call them turnstiles, a lot of them, because they're beaten so easily by defensive players. But I'm looking right now, the NFL draft from 2024, there were, you might not believe this, there were 23 tackles drafted. Three of them were white out of 23.
Damn.
Three out of 23. I mean, this is how much it's gotten skewed now. And then looking, even a guard, only 8 out of 18 were white, less than half, even a guard. So, yeah, the offensive line has become a black thing, as they say. Let me see, 2023, 7 out of 20 tackles taken were white, so it was a little better then. But a guard, it was only 4 out of 14 were white. So, yeah, that's another black position now, the offensive line, for those five positions. Center's still majority white, but the rest of it, they're working on making it as black as they can, as quick as they can, that and quarterback.
It begs the question, so to speak, that it looks like we have somebody, some fat cat white guys with plenty of money, with a lot of money, to start an all-white football league. And you mentioned Grambling in an earlier segment, and I'm still going to do it. I'm going to write off, and I'm going to get me a Grambling football jersey. And we also have Jack's Alcorn A&M, the black school down in Mississippi. They used to have what they call. Here's how they colloquial the terms. We had an all black every year. We used to have what they call the Southern Heritage Classic football game. So, not knowing, if you're not from Memphis, you wouldn't know the Southern Heritage Classic football game. That's the code for whites need not apply. They have two. All they call them traditionally black football teams. I think Alcorn A&M is one of them, or Jackson State, but they're both nigg footballs. And if you're white, you need not apply. So that's that term. I think that's comical. Why can't we have a southern football? What do they call it? Why can't we have a traditional white football game here, Memphis. Ole Miss at one time was all white. University yep. of Alabama. I remember when the University of Alabama was integrated. Why can't we have two all-white teams? Hell no. But that's another one of my rabbit trails, so I'll shut up and go back to you.
Even if you got some millionaires or built, we have to be billionaires, multi-billionaires even to try it now, but they would be ruined financially. I mean, this is a communist country. It's got the rules that are rigid. You can't take on certain issues that are not coherent with the reigning party line, or you'll be ruined. I can remember, you might remember Rush Limbaugh wanted to be partial owner of the St. Then they were in St. Louis, then the Rams.
Yeah.
And he was turned down by the NFL just because he had made a couple negative observations about black quarterbacks. That was enough. And then you think to disqualify him. Then in baseball, Marge Schott, you remember she owned the Cincinnati Reds for
a
number of years? And they were a successful team, but she had some pro-German or pro-Nazi sentiments that she uttered, and she had her team taken away from her. I mean, that's just... There's not freedom of speech. I mean, again, like I said earlier, we're kept on the margins. That's our home to the extent we're allowed to exist is the margins. Start going beyond there, and then they've got an endless array of tricks that they'll use to try and ruin you. And of course, then you look at people like Charlie Kirk. He got the ultimate finish. And then you read these horrible things about Tucker Carlson's on hit lists and things like this. I mean, that's probably the next step. We have become so. Merged with Israel when it comes to tactics, the brutal, vicious, murderous tactics that we may not be far away from some more well-known people in this country being taken out.
Yes, speaking of Tucker Carlson, I don't know if it's true that he is he'd been investigated by the FBI. He said that he may be arrested, I think, and that's what I've heard. I don't know if he actually said that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think nothing's been verified. I think it's just a rumor at this point that he may be under investigation or something like that. That would be a pretty daring, harsh thing to do against him. But yeah, there's no question. I mean, he's got a lot of influence, and therefore he's a threat to the powers that be. Joe Kent's my hero, but who followed him? Tulsi Gabbard. She should have resigned right after him, but she didn't. And, there should have been a whole bunch of Joe Kents, but there weren't. And so... He's my hero right now, and maybe some more people will, their conscience will let them do what he did, because we need more of that.
You know, a year and a half, 2 years ago, I would have said they wouldn't have enough courage to come out and arrest Tucker Carlson. But now I'm at the point, the gloves are off, the powers to be, the Jews that run the whole damn thing, and their acolytes, their slaves, they're so confident now, in my opinion, Don. They've gotten away with murder. They've gotten away with mass genocide in Gaza. They're getting away with starting a primitive attack at places like Iran, sending in 2,500 airhead Marines to get mowed down and get their minds destroyed and poisoned. There's just no end. And that's in your face now. And they're saying, yeah, we're doing it. We're Jews. We're superior. We're your bosses. If you don't like it, screw you. What are you going to do about it? You're nothing. I mean, it's just in your face. I'm starting to wonder if there's, if there's anything they won't do. I don't think they're going to put with Little Blood River Radio. I don't think we have enough influence yet. But although Dr. Michael Hill said we did, he said don't be so comfortable, because he told us that every time he comes on Blood River Radio that he is a mole, supposedly, and I don't know if I should even say that, inside the SPLC. That they tell him, he tells the mole, tells Dr. Hill that, hey, SPLC was all lit up again because you were back on Blood River Radio. And I don't know.
They monitor everything, that's for sure. No,
yes, they most certainly do. Well, you know what, Don? I cannot believe this hour has gone so damn fast, because I wanted you to cover that article about Joe Kent. Just plan to come on if we can again as soon as possible. Hey, stay in touch with me. I'll stay in touch with you. And it's been great pleasure having you come on, buddy. It really is.
Well, I appreciate it, too. So I always enjoy it.
You do great work. Well, people, we're transitioning to the last hour, the third hour. We're going to pick up my old buddy Sam Dixon and Mark Tommy coming on. Old League of the South guys. Be right back, folks. You got to get this long break, about 4 minutes. Get you some coffee.